This hour is brought to you by NJ Diet. NJ Diet contractually guarantees that you'll lose 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. Go to NJDiet.com or call them at 855-5-NJ-DIET.
Live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
WMVP, WSHE HD2, Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Barstool Big Cat, host of Pardon My Take, and voluminous tweeter at Barstool Big Cat. It's time for his weekly conversation with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Now in the street there is violence, and I love some.
Always enjoy our conversations with Big Cat.
Can't wait till he moves to Chicago.
Yeah,
I think the
moving van is already packed.
Barstool Big Cat is brought to you by the Curcio Law Offices. I'm Pat Boyle in for the vacationing Mark Silverman.
And Big Cat, first of all, welcome. Second of all, we can discuss the Blackhawks and their ineptitude later, and Pat Boyle can educate us all. But first, I tell you that the Raiders are a 2.5-point favorite, and the total tonight is 30.5. Where are you going?
Football is back. Football is back. Woo! I know it doesn't feel like it, but I love the Hall of Fame game because I turn it on for about 5 minutes. I see the helmets on the field. I see the coaches. I see people in the stands. It feels warm and fuzzy. Then they start playing, and it's, you know, third stringers, and it's terrible football to watch, and I turn it off. But
I take that personally.
I get that first feeling. Yeah, I get that first feeling.
Yeah.
No, come on. You're a first-stringer All-American. Come on.
No.
85 Bears.
No. It does give you the tingles, doesn't it? Like, wherever it is that you do tingle from, to see the first game of the NFL preseason still gives you a rush.
It does. It's you know what I liken it to? I've said this before, but, like, when you're super – I'm not a huge soccer fan. I despise tennis, but – sometimes when you're hungover on a Saturday or a Sunday, you just want to see, like, green grass and a ball on the field. So I'll turn it on just to see it. That's how I feel tonight. Like, I just want to see some green grass and some helmets on a field.
Well,
it's like, yeah, that's enough.
Big Cat, we all know you're Mr. Over. But, boys, don't we have some intel that, like, the under has hit a ridiculous amount at the Hall of Fame game here over the last several years? Didn't we see that?
Yeah. Yeah, because they don't play anyone. Like, no one's going to play. But here's the problem. My co-host, PFT, he's on this Kyle Sloter train, the guy who's the backup for the Jaguars. He's convinced he's the greatest preseason quarterback of all time. So I think I'm going to have to take the over. In 30.5,
yeah.
I think is, yeah, the number, like, you can trick your brain into 30.5, where, like, they stumble into maybe, you know, a touchdown here, a field goal there, and then, boom, you got 30.5. I know it's going to lose. But I can't – if I'm going to watch this game, I can't bet the under. Come on.
Of course you can. Of course.
You're going to tap out.
When
did you say? When did you say you were going to tap out? 5 minutes?
5 minutes.
Will you leave the TV on?
I'll go – so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn it on for little festivities beforehand. Just feel it, hear it, you know, all the pomp and circumstance. Watch the first drive or two. And then I'll probably rotate it to the bottom TV. So, you know, I'm not working with one TV in my living room, guys.
Of course
not.
Well,
I'm watching everything.
What takes center stage then after you're done with the first 5 minutes of this game? What's center console?
It'd probably be something on Netflix, probably something my wife picks. But, yeah, because these are also, let me just say this to everyone out there, these are the last few days you got to know when to, you know, give up a battle here and
right there.
Because when the war starts and the games start getting serious, it's not, you know. So these are the nights where it's like, hey, why don't you choose?
Yeah.
Give a little reminder.
You
like, we'll watch whatever you want to watch.
You make so many great sacrifices.
Bravo sounds great right about now, babe. I love that idea.
Listen, I love Real Housewives, so I actually probably was going to be the one who picks Bravo tonight. So there's no shame in that game.
So you were on vacation last week, and you were telling Waddle and Sylvie that you had to take a drive and go shoot hoops to get away from the family. How did the vacation go with the family? Was it a positive experience, or were you really ready to get back to work?
It was positive. It was good. I think everyone knows, anyone who has kids out there, especially young kids, it's not a vacation when you take your kids. It's just a trip. You're just playing an away game. You know, you don't have all the nice things that you have set up at your house that, like, you know, the kid, like, the one thing that at the vacation house was, like, we didn't have anything blocking the stairs. And my daughter is at that age now. Ooh. She's, like, 14, 15 months, where basically all she does is crawl around trying to find a way to, like, kill herself. It's like, what positions can she get in that's going to be so dangerous? Now, I'll say this. We only had one incident where my son might have pushed her down the stairs, but it was only like the last three steps. So we survived that. But yeah, it's not a vacation, it's a trip, but it's great to be with the kids, because I know obviously once football season starts, like, there'll be days where they'll be like, where's dad?
Yeah.
Like, well, that's
me
hurts.
Time. That's me time. Yeah. There's a season for me time. By the way, speaking of vacation, Sylvie and Allie are on a little bit of a vacation in Nashville. They get celebrating, what is it, their 10-year anniversary, I think. I'm wondering.
And oddly enough, Allie's 25th birthday.
Yeah.
Did I say that out loud? I'm sorry.
Usually I'm the one who says stuff that gets us in trouble. That one's on you, Pat.
All right, my bad.
Meant 28th birthday, Pat.
Yeah, 28th.
28th birthday. I mean, it's no surprise that Sylvie's on vacation. I mean, the guy lives for vacation. Does he even work?
What are the... Go ahead.
Has he had, like, a meeting where they're like, hey, Sylvie, you know that, like, you have to work more days than you vacation in a calendar year?
Yeah, he's going to be more pissed off that you question the vacation days than the age of his wife, because he's very, like, these are my vacation days. Like, I'm going to take them, and if you think that I'm on vacation too much, screw you. These are my days, and I'm going to take my vacation.
Yeah, I mean, you should. Everyone should take their vacation. At Barstool, we have a very loose policy where sometimes, you know, I could leave for as long as I want, but I also could leave for no time. So, yeah, I guess you got to take advantage of it.
Well, I got a text from him today, and I asked him. I sent him a text to see how he was enjoying Nashville, and he said he was, you know, beyond thrilled with the experience. It is a really cool town. I'm just wondering whether he said he wasn't going to contact Jay.
Oh, he definitely
did. Oh, he is.
He texted him the minute he landed.
Well, I said, Big Ken, I said to PB, I go, like, do you think he's going to hassle Jay for, you know, hey, you want to meet up for something? Can you get me into here? Do you know someone there? I said, I don't know if he's going to do that. PB goes, he was his first call.
Oh, for
yes,
sure.
Of course. He probably was like, hey, Allie, why don't you go, you know, go do something. I'm going to meet up with Jay. On their wedding anniversary.
Well,
come on. Yeah, he picked Nashville for a reason. He wanted to be close to Jay.
Well, just as he was saying, he's got to be careful about that, you know. So anyway, there's a conversation there to be had.
Hey, Big Cat, how stunned were you that Wilson Contreras wasn't moved at the trade deadline?
It was so stupid. Every single which way. Like, the fact that the Cubs dangled him and made him, you know, the hugs and the emotional, like, stress that he has to have for, you know, basically the entire first half of the season, but especially the last month. And then to not move him, and what's going to happen is they're probably going to let him walk. Like, they're not – I think we all agree, like, if you're not going to move him, re-sign him. But
exactly.
They're not going to re-sign him.
It doesn't make any sense to do what they did unless the plan is to re-sign him, but I don't think they're going to.
They're not going to, and then they're going to get one of those compensatory picks, and the nerds are going to be like, wow, that's pretty good value. It's like, no, it's not. He's a great player. You could have gotten value for him at the trade deadline. If you have no intention of re-signing him, you must trade him. That's as simple as it could be. And so if they don't re-sign him, which we all think they won't, it was a stupid decision, and it makes me question what's going on, because there absolutely was a market for him. That you can't tell me there wasn't a market for a bat like that, who's a good catcher, you know, not great catcher, but good catcher, and can play DH too if you need him. Like, there absolutely is a market for him, and to not get something for him at the deadline when you are clearly rebuilding and you're clearly trying to build up the farm as much as possible is inexplicable.
You know, we had this conversation earlier about, you know, trading for a catcher is kind of tough, especially at the trade deadline. Now you're asking your pitchers to get used to somebody different behind the plate. I could see why pitchers would be reluctant, but there were like three or four catchers that were traded.
Yeah. And on top of that, so Jake Arrieta, who's a colleague of mine now, which is just a wild thing to say because I love Jake forever for everything he did for the Cubs, we asked him that question on Sunday night on Pardon My Take, and he was like, it's completely false. He's like, it's every like if you're a big league catcher, you can catch anyone. Yeah, right. Some guys have specific guys and whatever, like they might be older, who cares? But he's like everyone else on that staff, you sit down and you have a meeting with him for 30 minutes before the game and you talk about the strategy and you figure it out. You're all pros. It shouldn't matter the way people put an emphasis on it. And I had never heard that because I always was of the mindset like, oh, yeah, the catcher-pitcher relationship is so deep and it takes so long. He's like, no, it doesn't. It takes maybe a little extra effort, but Wilson Contreras can catch any pitcher in Major League Baseball.
So where is your trust now in Jed Hoyer? For years we said in Theo we trust. And look, he wasn't perfect, but he got you to the finish line. So now that you've seen Jed, you know, with the keys to the car and the wheel the last few years, where do you stand with Jed and your trust in him?
I think I'm still cautiously optimistic because the problem is Jed has not been put in the best spot because he inherited a team that was going to probably go through a transition, and we don't know what the ownership has told him, and the ownership has probably put different, you know, guardrails on what he can and can't do and what they want their payroll to be. So I think I'm still staying in that lane of let's wait until Jed can start using some money and you know, the guardrails come off, and then we can start judging exactly what he can do. Because I do think there's, you know, I'm not happy right now with what the Cubs have done, but I also understand it's supposed to be a couple years here, and so you got to give a little bit of patience. And, you know, unfortunately, the cynical view of all this is the Ricketts basically were like, well, we won our one, so now we can basically get a free roll for a few years here where the fan base won't be that upset. And they're probably right. You know what I mean? They're probably right because you win the one, and it does take a lot of the stress off of the urgency of having to win one.
And our buddy Danny Zetterman is Exhibit A for that. Because Danny told us today that when he told his son Avery, I think he's 8 or 9 years old, that Wilson Contreras wasn't traded, his son went crazy happy. Danny bought tickets for a game, and they're going to go support the team that made the crappiest decision of all before the trade deadline came and went. Typical Cub fan.
Yeah, so when Ricketts wakes up in the morning, he's got just a picture of Danny Zetterman on his wall,
yes.
And he's like, this is my guy. This is the guy. He's gonna go to the ballpark, and he's going to spend, and he's get a foam finger and a bunch of beers, and I can just keep making money off of him. But I get it. I like, listen. Again, it's the cynical view that they're able to basically make this gamble that because of a World Series championship buys you all these years. And part of me kind of understands that because it is true. Like, I don't have the stress that I had before 2016. Like, I want the Cubs to be good. I think they should act like a big league, big market team that can spend with all these others. Like, there's no reason that Juan Soto shouldn't have at least gotten a call from Jed. Maybe he did. But, like, this idea that only the Yankees and the Dodgers can afford Juan Soto, the Cubs can afford Juan Soto. They should act like they can afford Juan Soto.
Listen, San Diego ended up with him, and San Diego's in, like, the 27th TV market in all of Major League Baseball. By the way, Big Willie was 2 for 5 today with a double and a home run.
In a loss.
Which is,
like,
yeah,
again, that's the Rocket. That's the Ricketts. Like, that's the perfect game. You
Zetterman
know what I mean?
Is going
like,
home to pick up his son, and then they're going to go out for drinks and celebrate. Well,
yeah,
he's 8.
Exactly.
They're not going for drinks, but maybe he'll have something.
Yeah, maybe a Shirley Temple. Why not? No, Zetterman doesn't have sugar, right?
I don't believe he's allowed. Speaking of that,
no,
like,
sugar.
There's a story out there, Big Cat, that I would think would lead to you asking for someone to be arrested.
Yeah.
For probable cause. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers.
Yes. Says that
admitting to
psychedelics
the world
led to his back-to-back MVP seasons.
So I got two ways to handle this. One is my knee-jerk of, like, let's just try to get him arrested. The other thing I'm thinking about, I might try to get addicted to ayahuasca and then be like, Aaron Rodgers, I always looked up to him, and he set a bad example for me, the kid. You know, I think I'm like 1 year younger than Aaron Rodgers, but I got addicted to ayahuasca, like have it be like a scared straight story. Like I saw Aaron Rodgers say how awesome this was. I went and did it every single day, and now my life fell apart, and try to frame him that way. What do you think?
I think it's a solid play. I think it's your most solid play with regard to trying to have him arrested. I think a lot of your other ploys leading up to this have been sketchy at best. I think this one could work.
Yeah, he's basically asking for the cuffs to be put on him.
Yeah.
So I don't know how it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. We're going to get him in jail.
So, and this is when he was with Danica Patrick, which was like two girlfriends ago at least, and he had lengthy relationships. So this is like, this is well before the MVP seasons, right?
Yeah, well, I think he said he might have been last year, too, that he played the best football. Here's the other thing that's interesting about it, because I saw some of the clips, and he was like, he said something about ego deaths, which I understand happens with the psychedelic drugs, but, like, don't you want your quarterback to have ego? You don't want to lose all the ego. That's bad for the team.
If he's good, I don't want a guy who sucks to have a huge ego and think that he can throw it in places that he's not able to do it. But Aaron Rodgers needs an ego to play the way he does.
We've never had a quarterback like that.
No,
that
we,
you just described,
no.
Did you? Never. Have we?
Hey. I think he's having drinks with Sylvie right now.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't talking about him.
Oh,
I wasn't talking about him.
Hey, you had an interview with Craig Kilborn on PMT while you were on vacay. Back in the day, I loved Kilborn on SportsCenter. He was the original host of The Daily Show. And then he had the late night talk show after Letterman on CBS and walked away from it all. It's still like the most head-scratching decision I've ever, probably because of the monetary part of it. I can't understand how we could walk away from that kind of money. What did you take away from your conversation with Craig Kilborn?
I mean, it really is crazy. It I think there's probably a lot of people listening right now that are maybe too young to realize like how funny and incredible Craig Kilborn was, whether it be SportsCenter, The Daily Show, The Late Night Show, and to walk away, like, I kind of walked away from the interview respecting him even more, because who doesn't want to have that ability where, like, you're successful and you can say, yeah, I don't really want to do this anymore. It's not really the thing that's, like, getting me up in the morning. I mean, I always joke about when I retire, I want to just someday just be like, all right, I'm done. I'm walking away. I don't think I'll be able to, but I watched Craig Kilborn do it, and I'm like, that's kind of cool. Like, just to be like, hey, I like my life. And I like these things more than doing this job every day. And even though it's a dream job for a lot of people, I want to be happy. There's more people should aspire to, you know, put their happiness over those type of things.
I'm going to send you a copy of the first semester tuition bill I just paid this morning for my daughter going to Boston College. And maybe you'll change your approach on how long you actually feel like it's necessary to work. But that's a conversation for later. What is Kilborn doing now?
Listen, I can already afford my kids to go to college. The problem is I got to win some bets. That's my problem. I can't walk away and still gamble. That's the biggest issue. And
that's fair.
If I had to pick my perfect life, it would be retiring at 45, going to a diner every morning, looking at the horse racing forum, and, you know, betting ponies all day and sports all night. That's going to take, I gotta amass some wealth before that happens.
Speaking of the horses, are you someone that's reading the daily racing form, or are you just picking numbers and colors and names?
I read it. I know kind of what I'm doing, but obviously it's such a difficult thing. But I love betting horses, especially in the summer. Saratoga's a great track, Del Mar. I mean, it's fun because it's also just it's the best way to spend an afternoon, because it's every 30 minutes and it's like, all right, let's make a pick, let's look it over, let's figure this out. Boom, it happens in 2 minutes, next race. So it really is the best way to spend an afternoon on a summer day.
Back in the day, Barstool Big Cat, you were at the forefront of the Blackhawks 3 championships in 6 seasons. I think, was it the 23?
My name's on the cup.
It is.
Yeah, my name's on the cup.
It's on the cup. It's on the cup.
Yep.
You're at Wrigley Field. Somehow you slipped in with their group and you paraded around with the Stanley Cup. Was that 2013?
That was 2015. I was out with them in 2013 as well, but yeah, that was 15.
Somehow you're a part of that. Have you come to grips that you're probably going to see Patrick Kane in a Blackhawks jersey for the last time this season, that he'll probably be dealt before the trade deadline?
Yeah, I've come to grips with it, and I actually welcome it, because I think the Blackhawks are, and you could tell me better, but they've been playing in that middle ground for a while now. I mean, they've been a bad team. They haven't been a middling team, but they've been playing in that middle ground of, all right, what are we doing here? Are we rebuilding? Are we trying to, you know, squeeze one more out of these guys? It's just blow the whole thing up. You got to restart the whole thing. No half measures. And I was saying this to the guys a couple weeks ago. Like, Patrick Kane is one of those guys that wherever he goes, maybe outside of the Blues, I will root so hard for him. And I will love watching him in playoff pocket. Like, I think about, like, if he gets traded to the Rangers or if he gets traded wherever, just pick a team. And he's playing in big-time playoff hockey games. I will be watching and rooting for him. Like, that's how much I love him and how much I love watching him play. And I want him to have those opportunities. And if the Blackhawks aren't going to give him that opportunity to get back with a, you know, a competitor, like, let's get on with it. Let's get on with it.
You could switch places. You guys could swap places. If he comes to the Rangers, you can sell him your crib, and you could take his here in Chicago.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll live. Doesn't he live next to Taze? And I'll just, you know, we'll be like, all right, let's hang out. Let's go to the rink together. I'll drive you to the rink. But do you agree with that?
I'll drive you to the rink.
Yeah, I'll drive you to the rink. Do you agree, Pat, though, that, like, you got to just do it. You got to rip the Band-Aid off and do it. And when it does happen, I will enjoy watching Patrick Kane. Like, I have no shame in saying I will root for him wherever he goes and enjoy watching him in those big moments that we know from watching him with the Blackhawks. He always thrives and he always comes through.
Is he a member of your Chicago sports Mount Rushmore? I mean,
Patrick Kane?
Yeah. I mean, does he get on
mine for sure? Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, I would struggle with, you know, having not seen play. I mean, I know Stan Mikita, you know, and Bobby Hall. I get that. But, like, if I'm talking, you know, modern day, there's no question Patrick Kane, who's going to go down as the all time leading U.S. born hockey player. And to me, if he wanted to stay, I think he's going to play till he's 40. And I'm not kidding about that.
But how old is he now?
He's 34. And the problem is you've just taken everybody away from him.
Right,
he could stomach he could stomach staying here if DeBrincat was still here and he was still able to be top 10 in points like he was last season. That's not the case anymore. So he's going to want to tap out. And
they should want to move on from him as well.
He's a valuable asset. Yeah. I mean, you will get something pretty valuable in return, multiple assets.
Big Cat, is he on your Mount Rushmore of Chicago sports athletes?
I mean, you threw it at me, but I think he has to be. I mean, especially, obviously, like in the last 30 years, he obviously is. But, yeah, I mean, it's hard to leave him off. And the one last thing is, like, he has done so much for the Blackhawks that he deserves that right to be like, I want to be out, and to not get any scorn for it. I don't think there's anyone who would be like, how could you ask for a trade? Like, he deserves that.
Yeah, this won't be the Chelios. This won't be the Chelios thing, like, how'd you go to Detroit? Like, everybody will understand, like, you know, they've stripped this thing down to the studs, and he's standing there in his underwear like, all right, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he deserves, and I want him to be out of here in that respect. That, like, I don't want to see him just waste the last years of his career playing for a complete rebuild.
Hey, before I let you go, I have to know, what are your people in Latrobe saying about Mitch? How did he play today? How did he do today?
Listen, I got boots on the ground in Latrobe. One of my coworkers is there. I don't know what Pittsburgh's doing to him. I think they're going to ruin Mitch. We gave them like a finished product, you know, a little stop in Buffalo. And so whatever they do, if Mitch is bad this year, that's all in the Steelers organization. They're ruining this guy.
I love it.
That's going to be my spin zone all year.
Yeah.
Be like, how'd you do this to him? And I also, training camp, I try to keep up, but I don't want to because it stresses me out. Like, I saw that clip of Justin Fields overthrowing N'Keal Harry in the end zone, and I just had to, like, close my laptop and be like, take a walk. Like, I can't do this right now.
No, like, listen, we're all gassed up about obviously the first game is tonight, the Jags and the Raiders. Give it 7 days. We'll be screaming for the regular season to get here. Like, the lull between, like, the first preseason game where you still got, you know, some sweaty marbles. You're like, all right, it's back. You will be screaming for the regular season in a short period of time.
And it really goes down to, like, as sports fans, you tell yourself, it's just preseason, it's just training camp, don't stress out. But then you watch it and you just start stressing out.
Yeah.
So that's why I try to keep my distance. Like, I know my health is at stake here. Like, I can deal with the football season, but I can't also stress out in August.
Big Cat, yeah. Great stuff as always.
Thanks,
enjoy
brother.
The football tonight and Paw Patrol.
Yes.
All right. Paw thank Patrol. You, guys. Appreciate it. We're on to Blaze. We're on to Blaze.
Oh, okay.
It's just, I don't know what the heck is Blaze. It's just a monster truck that talks. Whatever. We're on to Blaze.
By the way, text Sylvie and see how he's enjoying Nashville.
Yeah. I'll be like, hey, how are you and Jay getting along in Nashville?
You
yeah.
up? All right. Send him a text. Yeah. You up?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. See
All
you, brother.
See you, guys.
Barstool Big Cat is brought to you by the Curcio Law Offices. Coming up, is there something that you would go to extreme lengths to have it executed exactly the way you want it? It's coming up next. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Miss a show? All your faves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You are listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. It's time to find the great on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. Find the great, presented by Great Clips.
Bob Odenkirk joining Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Bob is a kid that grew up in Cincinnati that was exposed to the Carol Burnett show on a regular basis. How did you get Carol Burnett involved to play a role in last night's episode?
She was a super fan of Better Call Saul.
That's awesome.
And Vince Gilligan, who created Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, is a super fan of old TV. His favorite channel is MeTV. He watches old Rockford Files, old Canon, old Columbo, anything. He just watches that channel all the time. And I don't know if they show, they probably don't show Carol Burnett, but they do show the ad for her show, you know, for they sell the videotapes or DVDs. And he just loves her. So he actually just saw that she'd mentioned the show in an interview, called her up, and he went to dinner with her a couple times, got to know her. And then this scenario, which wasn't an attempt to use her, came up, and she was the right age for it. And they asked if she'd do it. And I won't say more, but the word more.
Oh, and great word to describe Better Call Saul and Bob Odenkirk. Finding the Great, brought to you by our great friends at Great Clips. I said to the fellas, like, I was late to the party, Pat. I didn't watch it when the series first came out.
Okay.
Watched Breaking Bad.
Sure.
Had to go back and binge that. Loved that. But was kind of, for whatever reason, slow to join the crew that was head over heels with Better Call Saul. I think for me, and again, we live in the moment. I am guilty of that. I think it's top three shows for me, series I've seen. I mean, I love him as a character. This season's been a little different, but the action and the writing and... I think it's just I think it's even a little bit better than Breaking Bad.
Wow. I full disclosure, have not watched Better Call Saul. I'm a huge Odenkirk fan. I love the interview.
Did you watch Breaking Bad?
I only watched parts of Breaking Bad.
That was this past season of the Blackhawks hockey season, right?
Yeah, very nice. Very nice. But what the thing I took away from the Odenkirk was I could not believe when he talked about the heart attack and that, you know, his fellow actors were standing around him and they thought he was gone. And like to hear somebody talk about themselves like that, so matter of factly, I was like, wow.
How he talked about how long that they had performed CPR on him.
Right.
To resuscitate him.
And then in the aftermath, I believe he said he lost
eight days.
So whether, I don't know if he was in a coma or if he was just being treated and, you know, not really responsive, but 8 days of his life basically gone.
Look, if you're an Odenkirk fan, check out the ESPN Chicago app and give that podcast a ride. That was, you guys have had, I mean, look, I think you and Sylvie do a tremendous job with your interviews, but the Odenkirk interview, the Eddie Olczyk interview, and Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh, Billy Corgan.
Billy Corgan. In the last week plus have been absolutely must-listen to interviews.
And like, they weren't really in any way, shape, or form sports-related. I mean, Eddie was, but, I mean, you got the human side of these guys.
Yeah.
So
he mentioned Carol Burnett.
By the way, do you know how old... Did you grow up watching Carol Burnett?
Yeah, it was on,
Yeah. I mean, like, I did. Like, that was...
Like, there's four channels back then.
Exactly.
I mean, you basically knew it was... was on, you
right.
know, most
And they were reruns for the reruns, most part for me. But do you know how old she is?
I'm going to guess 81.
89 years old.
Wow. Yeah. How was she on the episode?
She was good.
Okay.
Yeah, like she's... You wouldn't think she's 89 in the episode.
So here's the deal. There's a story that goes about Carol Burnett that she carries a card around that has the ingredients to the Cosmo drink that her husband made for her. So anywhere, she goes to a restaurant, whatever, I want a Cosmo, I want it up or whatever. And then she hands the waiter or waitress this card. And then I'm sure the bartender rolls her eyes and says, okay, I'll make it for, you know, the world's, the national treasure, Carol Burnett. It also got me thinking about the Jim Nance story. Mallor, do you remember that? The toast?
Absolutely. Jim Nance likes his toast crispy. And when I say crispy, I mean burnt to a crisp, like black. And so oftentimes when he goes to a restaurant.
Time out. Like that. Have you ever burnt toast and eaten it?
Yeah.
And like it tastes like charcoal.
Right.
If I was to have tasted charcoal, that's what I think it would
but
taste
don't
like.
You like the burnt edges of a pizza crust. Like I like that. That part I get into.
I like if it's cooked well, but like not if it's like black and charred.
But you like your steak, you know, shoe leather medium well.
That's
so why
true.
Am I
that's
listening
a,
to you?
A
for...
bit, that's a bit of an
oh,
exaggeration.
No, it's not.
Medium
no,
with
it's...
a kiss.
You,
medium well
I've
or medium with a kiss.
You make David Flom cry when you order your steak. A beautiful
Listen,
piece cut of meat. At the greatest steakhouse in Chicago. And then you say, oh, I have it medium well.
But you know what David says? Hey, the customer's always right, so we'll cook it the way that you
customer's
want it.
Customer's always right, except not Tom Waddle.
So, well, yours is mooing when he brings it over to you.
Yeah. And I'm right.
I mean, what is it? What is it? What do you
medium
eat?
Rare. Medium rare. I'm like the rest of the world.
The rest of the world
What do you do
know?
Over there, Boyle?
No.
Yeah, medium rare, like the world.
No. I bet you. I will make a bet with you that the average person, if you did this on a percentage basis, I would say it goes with medium.
Okay. I would say...
The most popular...
I would say medium is one, medium rare is two,
medium
rare is three, slightly mooing is four, medium well to well done, you're in a small group there.
I have never ordered a steak well done. I've only ordered medium well.
Then you ask for the bottle of ketchup, and the waiter passes out.
That is so factually inaccurate.
So anyways, Carol Burnett carries a card with the drink thing on it. Nance carries a laminated card with the color that he wants his burnt toast. Is there something that you go to extreme lengths to have executed exactly the way you want, besides your well-done steak? You guys,
I can't think of...
Like, are you peculiar about anything, like... Whether it's a drink order, whether it's how you order your pizza from your favorite pizza place.
It's a good question. I have...
Yeah, I'm racking the brain. I feel like there's definitely got to be some things...
I have to tell you, like, I don't say this... I don't know how this will be received, but... I'm not really particular about certain things. In fact, there have been things that have been delivered to a table that I'm sitting at, and... It may not be exactly the way I ordered it, but I very rarely will send anything back.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, yeah, I'm not that guy either.
I should send it back because I'm paying for it.
Yeah.
There's a tactful way.
Right.
And a courteous way to say, you know what, this isn't the way. I very infrequently do that. So I'm trying to think something that I do.
To that point, I'm kind of like you guys in that I feel uncomfortable asking the server or the kitchen to, but conversely, I get uncomfortable when my wife starts making changes to items on the menu, like the salad in particular. She wants greens, spinach, arugula. Like it's like a salad. It's like it's a house salad.
Right.
They make it a particular way. You're ordering a completely different salad. That makes me uncomfortable just being next to her. And then I don't know if you guys know anyone who's done this. When food arrives, sometimes, you know, my kids can be picky eaters. They'll take a bite, they don't like it, and then she'll just get like a whole new item off the menu. Like this is like completely normal behavior. Like calls over the server, hey, you know what, we don't like, my kids don't like this, can we get this instead? That feels crazy to me. And by the way, expecting like just an even swap. Like, we shouldn't have to pay for both items. Yeah. I personally think that's kind of insane, but how do you guys rule on that?
First of all, I want to tell you, behind well done, is the way that the majority of people...
Get out of here!
Yes.
What, that live in Pittsburgh?
I'm not sure.
Come on. 24%
of those people surveyed preferred to have their steak cooked well done. Just behind at 23% is medium rare.
Oh, okay.
So close.
I disagree with whatever polling company
you use. How do you get your steak done, Meller?
I go medium, actually.
Okay, I would have thought medium's number one. Let's go to the phone lines. Tom is in Forest Park. Before you weigh in on what your special extreme length you'll go to, how do you order your steak?
Get the filet. Oh, when I get the filet, I usually have it medium well.
Oh, you do? Tommy.
I do. And medium, you know, there's a certain steakhouse that will insist on medium rare.
Yeah.
And it is much more juicier. I got to give you that. It's much more
juicier. Take them up on that offer. All right. What do you got? Go to extreme lengths about to have.
It has to be an absolute martini, light vermouth, shaken, not stirred.
Okay.
And with a lime twist, straight up.
That's very detailed.
Now, oh yeah, and I know when they're putting the cheap stuff, and I know when I'm tasting the cheap stuff, so I send it right back and tell them it has to be absolute and usually top shelf for the most part.
Listen, right, Tom, I would think that would be a popular response, is that it would be a drink order.
Yes, I think you're right about that. Especially the martinis. Everybody has kind of, you know, on the rocks, stirred, you know, not shaken, blah, blah, blah.
What can...
A blue cheese olive.
Are you never concerned that your meat will not be cooked well enough?
You can always send it back.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, if you have a burger or you have a steak.
I'll be honest. I could even, like, if it comes out more on the rare side, I'll.
And you're never worried that you may get some sort of intestinal thing?
No. Okay. Well, everything affects your GI situation. I mean, I know you're blaming it on the temperature of your meat, but.
What can you eat and not eat based on how it's cooked?
Well, like, I'm not a big raw egg guy, so I'd like to see my eggs cooked through.
But I like mine runny. What's wrong with you?
I like it runny, but I don't want the rest of it undercooked. Yeah. You know, I like it runny.
How about pork?
Yeah, pork needs to be medium. Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And calling everybody else an idiot. I want my pork cooked a little bit more.
Maz is in O'Hare, is near O'Hare. What's up, Maz?
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, you talk about people that always want things. I was listening to Jeff Miller talk about his wife and creating her own salad. I'm in the hospitality business, and some people think they actually own the restaurant or own the hotel that they're staying at and want things that are just really outrageous. So it's rough. It's rough out here, especially these days. People forget that, you know, nobody can find workers. And they still want everything, and you literally can't get everything you order. So if you're in the restaurant business and you're looking for an item and it doesn't come in, people have a hard time understanding, well, what do you mean you don't have it? You can get it in a grocery store, but it doesn't mean I can get it. So it's rough out here. And as far as steaks, it's rough. I don't know why anybody would want to eat anything really done more than a medium and a steak temperature.
Totally with you.
It becomes a rubber thing.
Absolutely. I totally agree with Maz on that one. By the way.
Yeah, I mean, you guys, you should get a room.
Well, let's Andy's weighing in. He's in Danville. What's the proper way to order your steak, Andy?
Well, I'll tell you, the first time I went to Chicago Cut, my son took me there for dinner. The waiter comes up. I order my steak. He says, how would you like it done? I said, medium. Unless you can do medium rare. And, of course, my son put his head in his hands like, God, I brought the country bumpkin to dinner. And the waiter looked at me and said, yes, we can do medium rare. This is an Applebee's.
Do you know the proper way to have your steak done the way you like it? That's the way you should have it done, Andy.
Right. Well, it's medium rare, Watts.
Okay,
medium
that's rare. Cool. Like, listen, right. I'm not going to handle it. You don't hear me sitting here calling you guys savages.
Team medium rare.
Why
over
do you
here.
Even put it on the grill? Why don't you just eat it raw? Right. So, savages. You don't hear that coming from me.
I mean,
like, you got your glasses on the end of your nose right now looking down at me going, yeah. How dare you ruin a good piece of meat by asking it to be grilled a little longer than I do?
My wife thinks my peculiar order is I ask for extra napkins. I'm napkins guy.
Are you the napkin guy?
Because I'm a sloppy eater.
You're a dad.
I'm a dad.
Every dad's a napkin
guy.
And
I tuck, even if it's like, you know, I'm not eating pasta or something that would splash up, I will tend to tuck the napkin into the shirt to protect the shirt, and I will hit both pant legs.
Even if you're just at a burger joint?
Yeah, because burgers, I have medium rare and a little juicy, and you never know where, you know? I'm like, I don't have it done.
Well, if you're not eating with your hands and you're not a savage, maybe you don't have to worry about that
maybe
stuff.
Maybe I do need to.
That's kind of surprising, PB, because on a lot of the Hawks pre- and post-game shows, you didn't even have buttons on, so I'm surprised that
you What are you about. Talking about?
You were going pretty
I
low.
I think you got
you're
me confused with
somebody
else.
You were going close
else.
To the navel a couple times on the pre-
I
and post.
Wasn't.
Hey, everybody, welcome into Blackhawks pregame.
I was trying to see if anybody noticed. We found the person.
We were watching. Maybe we're pants watching. This year as you preview the Hawks games. Why don't you do that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, we're going to give it a shot. We got Michael Wilbon coming up at the top of the hour. We'll get his thoughts on how. I know he's definitely team medium rare.
I think you're right.
I will push every
right.
chip into the middle.
You
of
want
the
to
table.
Talk some football too?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
Let's hold on. Let's get Dennis in here. One more question here. Dennis, welcome to Waddle and Sylvie. How you doing?
What's up, guys?
Hey.
Bacon. When I go to a restaurant, I have to tell the waitress, please burn the bacon as crispy as you can get it. And they normally won't burn it the way I want, but it'll at least come out decent.
Do you send it back to try to get it burnt, or do you just deal
once,
with it?
I was a Richard one time, and I told the waitress, I said, your tip depends on how well your cook burns my bacon.
Wow. Okay.
I want it to look like a fire when it comes back.
Okay. All right.
He wants some crisp bacon.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Dennis.
You guys are awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Dennis.
All right, coming up next, talk some Bears and get you ready for Mike Wilbon. That's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Several people have responded about the how to cook a steak. There's some very funny tweets that have come our direction.
Anything you could share with us?
Or maybe later. Yeah, okay. Maybe later.
All right. By the way, ESPN Chicago Football Fest is the official kickoff of the football season. It's going to take place Saturday, August 20th, Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana. Doors open at 10 a.m. It's free. You can register. Registration required at ESPNFootballFest.com. All the talent will be there. Talking sports betting, Bears, and fantasy. Shefty will be there, along with Field Yates. Cast of thousands, so make sure you check that out. You must be 21 years or older to attend, and more guests will be announced soon. You looking forward to that? We got NFL tonight.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. The football season officially begins tonight with the Jags and the Raiders in the Hall of Fame game. It'll be watchable probably for about 5 or 6 minutes, but it's the symbolic meaning of, hey, the season is getting started. And we'll ask Mike Wilbon how he has his steak prepared when he sits down for a fine meal over at Chicago Cuts.
That's next. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.